Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the scriptures for this weekend, in the second reading, we continue from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Once again, we are reminded that Paul writes this letter from prison in Rome, awaiting his own death. Now, what I want to do is focus my homily on this letter to Timothy, because it's a great source, a great wealth of spiritual and pastoral knowledge for us all. Timothy, as we discussed earlier, has been a protege of St. Paul for many years. Timothy himself is half Jew and half Gentile. His mother is Jewish, his father is Greek. And therefore, Timothy is a great symbol of St. Paul's mission to reach out and evangelize both the Gentiles and the Jews. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, we hear Paul giving Timothy great pastoral advice that we ourselves can take to heart. Often, when I read Paul's letter to Timothy, his first letter as well as his second letter to Timothy, it's almost like spiritual direction. Paul is actually speaking to us. Now, last week, we started reading from it, and we found out that Paul had ordained Timothy to now become the leader of the Christian community, in this case, in Ephesus. Paul is writing this letter as an elder statesman, passing on the wealth of wisdom that he has garnered from the many years of evangelization, and he's passing it on to a novice, in this case, Timothy. Listen to now what Paul writes. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David, such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal." Now, Paul says, "Such is my gospel." The gospel in Greek means good news. And this is an amazing message. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Now, it's not an assumption, it's not a theory, but it is a fact. Everything in our Catholic faith is rooted in the event of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Everything, from sacred scripture to the sacraments to doctrine, dogma, it's all centered around the great truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Paul continues, and he says, "For which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal." Well, now Paul proclaims another fact, that he sits in prison because he boldly proclaimed what we, in our own day and age, take for granted, the freedom to proclaim in public that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Now, in the ancient world, this was a criminal act. Why? Well, first and foremost, Christianity was not a sanctioned religion by the state of Rome. It was an outlawed religion. If you practiced it or proclaimed it, you would be thrown in jail. More to it, the message of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, was deeply subversive, even to the Romans, to the entire world. The message that a crucified criminal has been raised from the dead through the power of God was very subversive. Remember, crucifixion, the cross, was the great instrument of death, pain, destruction, and torture used so effectively by the Romans to terrorize the people so that they could be governed. That death, the death of crucifixion, was so painful. Worse yet, it was so drawn out. It would take people several days to die on a cross, slowly dying of asphyxiation. The Romans would always crucify criminals, and they would put the crosses at the entrance of gates of Roman towns or cities as a clear message to all who entered those cities that this would happen to you if you do not abide by Roman law. to add insult to injury, after the person died, their bodies weren't taken down right away from the cross. Instead, they remained upon the cross for the animals to pick away at the person's carcass. The idea was to give this person not only the most painful death, but also the most humiliating death. In our day and age, we would refer to this as state-sponsored terrorism. The state in this case would be the Roman Empire, terrorizing the people in order to maintain order. Now, does this deter St. Paul? Not at all. St. Paul boldly and publicly proclaims that Jesus Christ was put to death and has risen from the dead. Now, what's the implication here? That the power of the Romans is broken forever. The very instrument that the Romans used to terrorize the people has been destroyed. This now becomes a threat, even an embarrassment in the Roman world. God's power is now more powerful than any power in the world. Yes, in Paul's time, the Roman Empire was the greatest power in the world. You have Roman architecture, art, government, the military. Rome was the only power in the entire world. But here comes St. Paul, and he makes this bold proclamation. He says, "Remember, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David, such as my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal." Here is Paul saying, ever so forcefully, there is a greater power in this world. Rome is not the great power. Instead, Jesus Christ, Jesus Kurios, Jesus Christ is Lord. It is not Caesar. Through the power of God, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's why our early church boldly proclaimed, Jesus Kurios, Jesus Christ is King. Therein lies the great threat to the Roman Empire. And see, this is why Paul spent half of his 25-odd years of ministry in Roman prisons. Paul said, "For which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal." He's referring specifically to the fact that he is in prison, suffering because he boldly proclaimed Jesus Kurios, Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And he continues, "But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ." The word of God cannot be chained, controlled, or manipulated. Remember, St. Paul is in prison. And yet, he's telling Timothy, the word of God cannot be chained. Like the power of God, it is more powerful than anything that the world has to offer. In fact, it is the power of which this world quakes and becomes unnerved. A great example of this in our own day and age is a recent advertisement in a local newspaper. It was by a Christian church, not Catholic, but Christian, and it's trying to welcome people. And it did so by listing off bullet points of what this Christian church believed in. Now, in many ways, it was subversive, attacking the Catholic Church. I'll just give you some examples of the bullet points. It says, "We believe in Holy Communion that may be received by all baptized Christians and not members of a specific church. We affirm that committed relationships are lifelong and monogamous. We affirm that issues such as birth control are matters of personal informed conscience." Now just look at that. These are all subversive. These threaten the power of God, such that they are a direct assault on the Catholic Church. The first, well, we as Catholics believe the Eucharist is a central element of our faith. We don't exclude it from anyone, but we actually ask only Catholics to receive. Why? Because only Catholics believe in the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We believe that it is his body and blood. We believe in the transubstantiation other Christians believe in the consubstantiation, that what they receive is a symbol of Jesus' body and blood. The second bullet point, well, that's a direct attack on the Catholic Church's belief in the sanctity of marriage. We as Catholics believe that marriage best mirrors the covenant between Christ and His Church. Christ repeatedly in the Gospel refers to Himself as the groom, and that the Church is the bride. And that's the type of intimate relationship that God desires with us as the Church. And therefore, marriage best exemplifies that covenant of relationship, that man and woman have that type of love and fidelity, and that's what we hold to and defend. The last bullet point is a direct assault on the Catholics' belief of the sanctity of life. We truly believe that all life is precious, from the moment of conception to natural death, and we will always defend that. I'll leave you with just one last thought, and that's from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah writes, "I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak his name no more. But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it." Here, Jeremiah is preaching exactly what Paul is speaking to us. When Paul says, "But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear it with everything for the sake of those who are chosen." The word of God is proclaimed by all of us, and we must proclaim it. We must have a burning desire, like Jeremiah, like St. Paul. We must not be intimidated by the things of this world, but instead harness the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that resides within each and every one of us. And therefore, the word of God can be proclaimed, cannot be chained, and we can do it. We can do it easily by our conduct, by our words, and by our actions. I often give you that great quote from St. Francis of Assisi, in which he always proclaimed to his young monks, "Preach the word of God, and if necessary, use words." So must we. We can boldly preach the word of God, like Jeremiah, like St. Paul, and if necessary, use words. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.